So yeah, let's just start out in prayer. So Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for just this week, the beautiful weather, Lord. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, your loving kindness, Lord, your gentleness, Lord. And I just ask for your spirit to be here, Lord, that your spirit is here, Lord. It's in each and every one of us who've cried out to you and have been born again, Lord. And you have not left us orphans. And so we just thank you for your comfort, your love, Lord, the loving relationship, Lord, that you offer us, Lord, that we could come in obedience and to just the koinonia, the fellowship, Lord. Thank you for the brethren. Thank you for everybody here, Lord, and just encourage everybody, Lord, just to share with one another, to pray with one another, and just to build each other up, to edify and exhort and to love on each other, Lord. That's as we're told this morning in prayer, Lord, the time, as Paul brought in prayer, Lord, the time is near, and so we need each other and the love. And so we just thank you and praise you and lift you up today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. 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 So I'm just going to stick with my notes. So Lord, this morning said, just trust what I gave you to give. And I really encourage everybody, you know, we'll be in Deuteronomy 6, pulling out of there. And yeah, just the simplicity of it all. I definitely am somebody that overthinks things, overcomplicates it. I make it more than it needs to be. And the Lord is so loving just to tell me, you know, it's really simple. And I just want to encourage you all, it's very simple. Obedience, he tells you to do something, you do it. You know, it's not much to it. And so we left off last week. We finished 1 Peter chapter 1. And the title Pastor Seth had for us was Partakers of His Holiness. And we are exhorted to participate that koinonia, and to do the things which God tells us to do, to be obedient. And then the verse leading into last week from the previous week was 1 Peter 1, 15 through 16. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. You know, I think of reverence. That's that holy. That word means that having that reverence of God. I think of the fear of the Lord as the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 9:10. So I'm sitting back there last week, you know, like many weeks, and considering and looking at my life, and you know, you're walking through this world, you're doing all those things, and you hear those things being taught by the Spirit, and you self-examine. I sit there and, you know, you get a little nervous because I'm not living that perfect holy life. You know, do you guys, I imagine you guys maybe feel the same way. But I'll drive home. You know, everyone uses the driving and traffic example. You know, you see some people driving and how they are driving. And you're like, man, I really, really hope bad things happen to that person. And I hope a 5-car accident with no survivors, right? Or I'll have the kids in the back seat and they'll start crying and fighting, and sometimes you just burst and get angry. You know, the Holy Spirit will just gently whisper to me, you know, really? You know, stop it. You know, so it speaks to me. Or it's springtime, nice weather, and you're driving through NDSU campus. You're on the way to church. You know, you're listening to a Bible study. You know, joggers will catch your eye and the Holy Spirit gently whispers, really, Bronson? You're listening to a Bible study right now on your way to church. Really? Stop it. Oh yeah, right. That's right, Lord. I'm sorry, you know, and then another example. Your wife calls you. You're on your way home. You're getting on the interstate from 13th Avenue. You know, you're a little later than coming home than when you told her you would be coming home. And she asks you, "Hey, where are you at?" And you reply, "I'm almost home. I'm right by the Fargo Dome." My foot gently hits the accelerator, and the Holy Spirit whispers gently in my ear, "Why do you need to lie about that? You aren't by the Fargo Dome right now." "Yeah, but Lord, I basically am. Look, I'll be there in just a minute. I'm basically almost there," you know. And the Spirit just so gently says, "Really?" You know. And so you guys experience these things? Yeah. Or I'm just revealing how rotten I am, right? And so I'll come to church, sit down, listen to a Bible study, get exhorted to be a partaker of His holiness, and beat myself up. I'm always corrected in sin. The Lord will gently say, "Bronson, aren't you happy I paid for all that, that your sins are forgiven? But Lord, I keep sinning. It's deep in my heart." And He says to me, "Yes, you are, but Bronson, just keep walking. You're growing. I haven't left you comfortless. I am with you. Don't you realize that it is me in you, prompting you and gently whispering in your ear and pointing out your sin? Just keep walking. Keep talking to me. Stay in my word. I love you. It's all paid for. I got this. Stay humble. Stay low. Keep serving me. I am slowly changing you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So, and that's why I'm here with you, he says to me. It's these moments that I just worship and praise the Lord. He is so gentle and kind. He says to me, Bronson, remember, repent, change your mind, and just keep repeating that. Remember, repent, repeat. And you can turn to Psalm 150 and just how beautifully the Psalms ends. And over, Psalm 150. I'll read it. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And it ends again, praise the Lord. So that phrase was said a lot in my house growing up, praise the Lord. It probably has in many of your guys' homes. And I've adopted what my pastor and his pastor do every time they answer the phone, praise the Lord, this is Bronson. And he's been so good to me. And just praise the Lord for His grace, His mercy, His loving kindness, and praise Him for the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And so the Lord reminds me, I come this morning, of how really simple it is. And that's where I'm at this week. The Lord was like, hey, just keep this simple. Don't need to overthink it. So let's dive in. We'll be in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I hope you leave here understanding how really simple it is, this participating in holiness. No matter how sinful you've been, or where you've come from, or what you've been doing, it truly is simple. Last Monday morning, I'm in my devotions, and I was at Matthew 22. I was at the part where the Pharisees and the scribes are trying to trick Jesus and are testing Him, and they say, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? So Jesus doesn't even take from the Big Ten. Right before Deuteronomy 5, He goes through the Ten Commandments, and Jesus replies, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. This is the first and greatest commandment. And second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And there's a great children's song that has been burned into my mind that we would play all the time. Bo would get hooked on it, and it would be played over and over again. We just played it like for a month straight. And I don't know if some of you guys know it, but it's, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. Deuteronomy 6:5. I've been seeing it all week, so I knew where I was going to be, right? And so I've entitled this week's study, The Freedom to Do That It Might Be Well With You. And so everybody, we all have our Bibles. Imagine our digital Bibles or paper Bibles. Let's read this together. Let's hear what the Lord has to say to us. And when Pastor Seth comes back and asks what we did, we can at least say we read the Bible together. And so continuing on from chapter 5, Moses goes over the Ten Commandments, and he continues on to chapter 6, and I'm just going to read the whole chapter. I'll go back and read my hard copy rather than the notes. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him to labor for him, and shall take oaths in his name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are all around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to your fathers, to cast out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken. When your son asks you in time to come, saying, "What is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you?" Then you shall say to your son, "We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded us." And so throughout Deuteronomy, you know, also want to note that took less than 5 minutes to read that one chapter, you know, to encourage you all. It doesn't take hardly any time to be reading the Word, picking it up. And you know, I've been there. I haven't read the Bible for long stretches of time, but, you know, to encourage us to always be in the Word, to just take it up, you know, just dwell on it, observe it, store it up in your hearts. And so I want to continue on, going to read some words, phrases, verses throughout the first few chapters. Just going to reiterate. The Lord says, "Take heed, perform, fear the Lord, diligently keep yourself, take careful heed to yourself, hold fast, but showing mercies to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Observe the Sabbath. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me always and keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." Chapter 5, verse 29. "Shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left, that you may live and that it may be well with you. You shall fear the Lord. You shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you. The Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Observe all these commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded us." Just to reiterate that, you know, I finished Deuteronomy personally in my devotions a couple weeks ago, and that is what I kept hearing from the Lord over and over again. Do this that it might be well with you. Observe and do and live this way, because it is for your good, Bronson, and for the good of your family. I love your kids and your wife more than you do. So why, men, should you stop watching pornography and fornicating? Is it because God doesn't want you to enjoy yourselves and feel good? No, it's because it is adultery. And when you start letting that in your life, then you become desensitized. You start searching for the next thing. It starts with the Britney Spears posters at 12 years old. And then on to the Sports Illustrated swimsuit editions. And then on to the Playboys. and on to the next magazine and the next, and then the internet and so on. And now they're introducing Apple. You know, we tried these on a couple weeks ago, the Apple headset thing. It was insane. So it's like it's opening up a whole new avenue for people to sin, and it's kind of frightening. But so eventually that's not satisfying enough. And then it's on to finding another woman. And then what happens? Your family ends in divorce and the spiral down from there. And then this morning I want to pull out of Chuck Smith's Wisdom for Today, April 21st. So cool. He says, sin is pleasurable for a moment, but it is a short-lived moment. One moment's pleasure can cause a person years of grief, sorrow, and heaviness. Then he goes on, forgiveness brings release. Release from guilt, from shame, and from the heavy hand of God. And so, you know, I exhort you guys, stop. If you're doing those things, stop doing those things, the Lord says. Do it my way, the Lord says. I gave you these commands that things might be well with you. I love you, he says. I don't want all this hurt in your life. He is thinking about us. Sin separates, it destroys, and it kills. It is said that sin will keep you from the Bible, and the Bible will keep us from sin. He wants us to obey his word, and it's all for our good, as it's over and over again in Deuteronomy, throughout the word of God. Where is the fear of the Lord? I remember being young, and I remember watching, I would watch cartoons, I'd watch The Simpsons, you know, then on from there you'd go on to Family Guy, and watch lots of cartoons, right? Loved cartoons. And then I remember from there, I would watch South Park for the first time. Comedy Central, 9 p.m., channel 249. And why I remember that is remember it. But I remember for the first time, and I truly remember not liking it at the first time. I remember Cartman would say GD a lot. I would cringe and be like, oh man, that's not very good. I don't like that. But time went on. And I would start to enjoy the show, laugh, and think it was so funny. But what was happening? You know, I was saved at a young age, so I was a Christian. I believed in the Lord. I asked him into my heart, was born again at a young age, recognized my sin, and then years go on, but even early on, I would grieve the Holy Spirit. And eventually, I got desensitized to this sin. I started to allow that in my eye gates and my ear gates. Eventually, it wasn't a big deal. And then I carried that into my life, and then I was the one saying those words. My heart was hardened in those areas of my life. Jeremiah chapter 3. I want to draw from the first few verses of Jeremiah 3. Read the whole thing if you get a chance. Not if, when, get there. The Lord says here, but you have played the harlot with many lovers, yet return to me, says the Lord. Guys, flip there, sorry. See it with your own eyes. I'm not tricking you. Chapter 3, the Lord says, but you have played the harlot with many lovers, yet return to me, says the Lord. The Lord says in verse 3, you refuse to be ashamed. Will you not from this time cry to me, my Father, you are the guide of my youth? Will he remain angry forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, you have spoken and done evil things as you were able. And then Israel is called to repentance. Return, backsliding Israel, says the Lord. I will not cause my anger to fall on you, for I am merciful, says the Lord. I will not remain angry forever. Only acknowledge your iniquity that you have transgressed against the Lord your God and have scattered your charms to alien deities under every green tree. And you have not obeyed my voice, says the Lord. Verses 12, 13. What I want to focus on is that. On there is that there was no shame. Do we feel shame when we are committing sin? Or are we so hardened by our sin we need to ask the Lord to circumcise our hearts and to give us that young, early baby skin? The Lord is faithful and has done that in my life. Praise the Lord. Yesterday morning, there was a few verses given, And just another confirmation, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, the Comforter. Verses 35 through 37, Psalm 119. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Back to Deuteronomy 6. And verses 4 through 9, if you have it back in your Bible, Deuteronomy 6, we're going to camp out on 4 through 9. These verses are known as the Shema in Hebrew. This word Shema means to hear, simple. This is the one of the most important passages to the Jews. They memorize it and usually begin their day and they end their day in these six verses. And traditionally, it would be the last words they would say when one dies. That's how important it is. And they have their children memorize this passage before bed. The Shema means to hear. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Yehovah, our Elohim, the Yehovah is one. The Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one." Elohim implies three. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." First off, how do we do that? How do we love the Lord? What can we possibly do for Him, the one who created all things and spoke everything into existence? 1 John 4:19 tells us, "We love Him because He first loved us." Have you been born again? Has Jesus knocked on the door of your heart, and have you opened the door of your heart? Thinking of this morning's prayer too, opening the door of our hearts, and asked Him to come in. Did you agree with Him that you are a sinner in need of a Savior and that by believing in Him, you got saved? If you have done that, then you have taken the first step of obedience to God. It's that simple. John 14, 15 through 18, Jesus speaking, He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And simple, right? Simple as that. So when Jesus ascended into heaven and took the seat at the right hand of the Father, He makes intercession for us, and He sent His Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and places His Spirit in you when you are born again by the Spirit of God. Pretty simple. You take the first step of obedience by recognizing your need for Him, and you let Him into your heart. And instantly when you do that, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in your heart. Saving faith results in obedience to God. So now what? Now you have His Holy Spirit, and now you're walking in this world. It's dirty. It's full of sin. Sin abounds. We all see it. You start to think, "Huh, I really don't want to watch that show anymore." Or at least the Holy Spirit didn't want you to watch it. Will I obey Him? Will you obey? The Holy Spirit cannot lie. He cannot be associated with lies. He will never lead you into something that contradicts the Word of God. It's either God, Satan, or the flesh when you make your decisions. So consult the Word of God in everything. All your counsel would be from the Word of God. And you will discover everything the Holy Spirit is about when you read His Word. Spend time in the Gospels. Watch, listen, observe how Jesus lived. Watch Him perform miracles and tell them not to tell anybody. You see, the Holy Spirit never wants to bring attention to Himself. He always points to Jesus. Watch Jesus walk and love on people and is never showing partiality towards people. He just loves and He serves. He took the lowest spot possible. He came in the form of a lowly servant. And you will see all the gifts of the Holy Spirit in action. You wonder, what are my gifts? Well, start walking. Start laboring for the Lord. Start serving, and hopefully our brothers and sisters will come alongside and will be faithful to say, "Hey, I notice you are really merciful towards people." Or, "You just have a lot of patience with the little kids over in children's ministry." It seems God has really given you a gift with children. And as you walk day by day by the power of his Holy Spirit, you start to grow. You see, Jesus spoke the truth because the Spirit is truth. It's not complicated. And it's at least it's not as complicated as I make things to be. And you don't need to be a scholar or have a master's of divinity to hear from the Lord and be taught by his Holy Spirit. He says, "Hear, O Calvary Chapel, Fargo. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." You might say, or I would say or wonder, I'd overcomplicate it. I hear people say, "Oh, I heard the Lord say this or say that. You know, I don't know if I'm hearing from the Lord. How does this all work? What do you hear?" You know, you're expecting to have, you know, I guess it has happened for others, the audible voice, you know, but simply open up the Word. Take up a paragraph, start in John chapter 1 and dwell on who Jesus says he is. And just sit there and read it. And read the Word as if God were speaking to you, because he is. He says to you, "Observe my word, that it may be well with you." Observe is a verb. It's an active word telling you to keep, give heed, to treasure up in memory. Observe these things, read them, dwell on them. Teach them diligently to your children. Take up children's songs and have them play over and over again in your homes, whatever it takes. That was the only way I was able to memorize the books of the Bible, you know, from beginning to end. Genesis to Revelation was a catchy little children's song from that same soundtrack, and we played it over and over again, so it's just burned in my heart. I finally know the books of the Bible and the order they are in. And now some of those verses are treasured in my heart. That wonderful, simple song, Deuteronomy 6:5. Start obeying God in the little things in your life. Have you obeyed him and been publicly water baptized? It's those little things he commands us to do. So, and then another song I've been singing all week. I want to read this old hymn, and it's great. It's by Charles A. Miles, 1913. It's called "In the Garden." And try to read it without singing it. But I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. In the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. Praise the Lord for that. And so as we walk day by day in the world, and like we had talked about, the sin that's all around us, be careful where you go. Be careful what you see. Be careful that the world doesn't overtake you. D.L. Moody had a saying, and it was simply this: the place for the ship is in the sea, but God help that ship if the sea gets into it. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. 1 John 2:15-17. I would encourage you guys, be so heavenly minded that you are no earthly good. There's an old joke I heard this week too, and it goes like this. There was a really smart, well-educated college student, and he was speaking to a missionary from Africa. And the young man said to the missionary, "Sir, it must be very hard for you. All the violence and the immorality, the witchcraft and the idolatry you encounter. What do you do to keep sane?" The missionary kindly replied, "It's easy. I get back on the plane and go back to Africa." Proverbs 4:23, this is how we love the Lord with all our heart. It says this: "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." I was reminded too, No Sweeter Name, that song, you know, it brought me back to the men's conference. There's no sweeter name, the darkness. How does it go? Around me, yeah. And so we were encouraged, the men, that that darkness is within us, right? So I just encourage you there. Well, not encourage, I guess, but the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Jeremiah 17:9. Don't take sin lightly. Sin corrupts, it destroys, it kills. Have the fear of the Lord in your life. Reverence him. And when you do sin, and the Holy Spirit gently tells you to stop it, really, don't do that. You know, obey him. It's all those little things in our life that add up. Confess it. Walk in the light. Put on the armor of light. Pray with one another. Exhort and edify each other. We need each other. The opening verse, Hebrews 10:19-22, then right on it goes on to, the more we see these things happening, the more we are to gather together and exhort and edify and love each other. And, you know, it's just going to get worse, and we're singing Maranatha, Come Lord Jesus. But until then, we'll share the gospel. We'll, you know, do the work that he shows us. I finished Matthew. Finished Matthew this morning. I'll go there. The very last verse. We had it on our name tags at the men's conference. And he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That was another encouragement this morning. And where was I at? Oh, yeah. That's why we're here. That's why we gather, we share life with one another, that koinonia, that partaking together. Love the Lord God with all your might. Once again, Romans 12:1-2, treasure and observe these words, commit it to memory. I'm pretty sure we all probably do. We've been reading it over and over again the last few months, and it reads once again, church, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And he wants all of us, not just on Sundays, he wants Monday through Saturday too. He wants all. And all this by our choice and free will. And it's a loving relationship. It's not a legal one. We don't have to do any of these things. God does not force us to love him. He demonstrated his own love towards us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. He gives us the liberty and freedom to love him back and to obey him. And in turn, it's all for our own good. Remember, the Lord loves them whom he corrects. There will be correction. If I forced my wife to love me, would it be love? Hey, woman, you have to obey me. I am the head of this house. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says so. You do as I say, woman, sandwich now. That sounds pretty loving, doesn't it? No. My wife gets to love me because I am a really, really lovable guy and perfect and really, really, really ridiculously good looking. Zoolander reference. But we have the freedom to do what God tells us to do, that it may be well with us. Do you hear that? Let's choose to love him. That's my choice. I get to come to church and see all you weirdos. Remember, repent, repeat, daily keep walking. Take his yoke upon you and just walk alongside him, his burden is light. Continue to abide in him and read his word. And just a couple days ago, I was talking to a friend of mine this week, and he had this phrase said, and it was simply, you will find freedom in his word. And how true was that? And then as we prepare, as I You know, we open up CalvaryChapelFargo.com. Look ahead. Next week, we're in 1 Peter 2. Read ahead. Come prepared. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." Jesus tells us, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Observe and do these things. Let's not just come here and talk about these things. We can apply it this week. We can. There's opportunity every day when you leave here. You can love your neighbor. You know, it's that commands us to love our neighbor, and then there's that action behind that, that we can just go listen to the Spirit and do things for our neighbors. You know, bring them cookies. Have your kids that are homeschooled have them make cookies. Bring them to the neighbors and do these things. And we're going to love on our neighbors in North Fargo and share His word. We're going to have a great time and just show the world the light of Jesus in our lives, and give testimony for what He has done in our lives, and share the good news. So treasure His word in your hearts and mind. Read His word every day. Took less than 5 minutes to read that chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 6. How much time are we giving the Lord in our day? If we watched an hour-long movie, is He getting equal time or more? Or video games, how much time is the world getting of us, and how much time is He getting? An idol is described as an image or a statue. What images are we devoting our time to? Think about that. So, as we end, we're coming into communion, and as we're exhorted to be partakers of His holiness, we can come together and partake in communion with one another. And so what I want to do is have Sarah, if you could come up, and we'll just sing whatever the Spirit has her to bring. And I'll open up Matthew 26. So I want to encourage you guys all, so we have another opportunity, simple as that. We can come and we can obey God's word here. And He tells us what to do. And so let's hear what He says to do, and let's do it. So I'll read this, and then Matt, you want to come up? And I'll probably... Chris, you want to come up too? Yeah? All right. Yeah, you guys pick. And then, so I'm going to read this portion here, Matthew 26, 26 through 30. And I want you guys to reflect, examine your hearts, come before the Lord, give Him praise, thanksgiving. And when you're ready in your own heart, to partake of communion, and we'll sing together, and then whenever you're ready, you guys take of the Lord's Supper. I'll read it here, Matthew 26, 26 through 30. And Jesus, as they were eating, He took the bread, and He blessed and broke it, and He gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat this body. This is my body. Take, eat, this is my body." He gives a command, simple. And just receive that bread and eat it. Then He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So we'll pass that out. We'll sing together, and we'll partake together.